Welcome to Love Quirks, the relationship and love podcast about sparking your connections and understanding the big picture of love. If you're neurospicy, kind of quirky, or just a regular old human wanting to spark your relationships with more connection, more love, more acceptance, and more understanding, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Crystal Clark. Join my quirky crew on your journey to being sparked forever, because no one is normal and all love quirks. Welcome to our love space today. Well, we have stepped into spring and it is always nice, at least I find, to have that seasonal change. I find it really resets me, kind of makes me think about, you know, different things that are going on or different aspects of life that maybe I forgot for the other season. You know, it turns our attention to kind of new and different things, and you know, it gives us time for a refocus. And with having some time off for spring break with my bonus kids, you know, I probably did a little bit more scrolling than I maybe should have at some points. But it was interesting because I always come across, you know, relationship videos. And, you know, part of the reason why we're on here is to kind of demystify things and cut out some of that social media noise on relationships. And I came across a few interesting videos. One of them was talking about the importance of balancing out that masculine and feminine energy. And the interesting part is the way this person focused it is that they thought that, you know, you needed to be able to let the man lead in the relationship. Okay, that was kind of their main thing, that if you can't let him lead, then it's over. If you have to be hurting him all the time, then it's broken, is what this person said. And often on these platforms, we do get a lot of this really black and white, you know, these black and white takes on relationships where things start to become very rule-based, maybe almost weirdly manipulative, and, you know, not very, I guess, like holistic and organic in that big picture thinking piece. And like, does anyone remember that book from the early 2000s? What was it called? Oh, The Game. And it was like the guy dating strategy rules. And some of the things in that were just like, you know, crazy, like ask a girl for her number and then rip it up in front of her. And it will make her more interested, I am sure. So we're probably getting a bit of the backlash from that book and kind of that era of dating right now. So, you know, but some of those ideas do have merit. And they have merit in that they're probably the times where, you know, those rules are really being based on like a bigger overarching, like actually healthy idea about a relationship. So what about this idea about, you know, being able to follow the man or letting him lead the whole time? Now, I'm sure a lot of us out there are just, you know, if we're thinking date nights are outdated, we're probably also really thinking that that concept is outdated. But what about this idea of feminine and masculine energy? Now, personally, you know, I sometimes get into like the hippy dippy, you know, energy stuff and more of the spiritual energy rather than, you know, like in the cake model, what we always talk about, we have that E at the end. And for that, we're always talking about energy. And usually I tend to think of that for most people as being kind of just like life force, like energy to get up and do things and put, you know, effort into life is usually what I'm thinking about for that E for energy. But, you know, for me, my detail, the way I like to fill in that E personally in my relationship is also has a little bit of that spiritual energy piece. And so if that, you know, jives with you, then 100% add that into your conceptualization of how we use the E and in our cake model. So that if we're thinking that big picture piece, you know, of that masculine and feminine energy. Really, that really is just really getting at the idea that there's an active energy and a more passive energy. Really like that yin and that yang dynamic of balancing things out. So this is nice because it makes a balance between activity and rest. And that's even a balance we all really need in just our own internal beings, right? Is that balance between action and rest, between pausing and doing. And that balance in a relationship really also makes sense if we think about balancing out a relationship dynamic like this. And, you know, this allows us to take turns in our relationships in those different energies. So it's not necessarily that one person always has to be in that active energy and one person always in that passive. Some couples are much more dynamic than that, right? Some couples do have just those natural patterns and they're kind of one person is in one dynamic and one person is in another dynamic. And that's just kind of how it goes. But sometimes you get couples that are very dynamic in their energy balances, and they will switch back and forth to that. Sometimes, you know, in different changes of life or in different times of life, sometimes, you know, even throughout the day, they'll change, switch back and forth. So it really depends on what your energy dynamics are. And I think it's, you know, there was like a 90s show called Absolutely Fabulous, and they always gave this example in that show. And I always tell people about it, and no one ever likes, everyone always, I feels uncomfortable after I talk about it. But what they talked about in that was that, and this is actual true fact, is that you can't house two racehorses together because they will just kick the crap out of each other. And so, but racehorses also get lonely. So you can't house them by themselves. So you have to have a little goat or donkey friend to house with the racehorse. And then they just have a lovely time together. That kind of made me, that sort of just popped into my head. That makes me think about this, that like, you know, one very active energy and one more passive energy, right? And, you know, whenever I talk to people about that, no one likes to, like I said, no one wants to ever say that they're the donkey or the goat, right? You know, like I think I'm most definitely like a little goat or a little donkey. I definitely have more of that restful, slow energy. I think I encapsulate a lot of the time. Anyhow, I digress. So that energy balance piece, I do think is important, and it can really influence your relationship and how you go about your day. But I think the real key here is that if you have to hurt him, that second thought she had, if you have to hurt him, it's broken. Okay. And I think that is a yes. I think that is a yes. So, but let's change that to, rather than if you have to hurt him, if you have to hurt someone, if you have to hurt your spouse, if you have to hurt the love of your life, then, you know, we might need to rejig things, right? And that's because if we kind of reframe it and change it to, if you have to parent your spouse, because really that's really what that hurting piece is that you are trying to parent the love of your life instead of partner with the love of your life. Let's think about that. Let's just repeat that. I think that's a nice thing to repeat. We need to be able to partner with the love of our life, not parent the love of our life. We need to partner, right? And if we are parenting instead of partnering, then our whole dynamic is going to be off. Because like, if we think of our cake model, your communication is going to be off because it's going to be influenced by that dynamic. Your affection, the way you share and enjoy each other's affection, is going to be off because it's going to be in that parenting dynamic. Your kindfulness and the lens you use for each other is going to be off in that dynamic. And your energy for each other is going to be off in that dynamic. Really, you're everything. Your everything is going to be off. So we talk a lot here about, you know, collaborating with your spouse. And that's when, you know, when I use the word partnering, that's that collaboration piece. We really want to be collaborating. But if you're parenting them, then you're not coming together with the love of your life as an equal. So I've worked with a couple on this where they came to me, and one of their big problems was that one person thought the other person was being very bossy or controlling or, you know, any of those kind of like, you know, they felt they were always getting nagged and that they were always doing the wrong thing. And when we started to dive into some examples, you know, the examples they had were like, they tell me how to do this thing, or they keep correcting me, or if I'm like cooking this thing, they step in and they start taking over and saying it's not right. Or, you know, I have to do, even if the outcome is the same for something, I have to do the process the way that they want it done, because that's apparently just the proper process. Or, you know, if we're supposed to do certain errands or chores on the weekend and I'm not feeling like it, that person is nagging me and complaining about how I'm not carrying through with this. And, you know, in a lot of those examples, that the other person has just started taking over. So like that example with the errands or the chores or whatever, you know, not being done on the Sunday, then that other person would just start to do them at a certain point in the day. Okay. And really all of these things, when we kind of started to explore them, really they all start to come down to a lot about trust. A lot about trusting that the other person is collaborating and is partnering, right? We all have different, you know, spaces and times in our day. And maybe, you know, maybe some people are very routine and every Sunday, you know, how many Sundays do we have in a year? Not 365. We have like roughly 52-ish Sundays probably in a year. And if you think about it, like some people are very, very routine in their life. We always have the whole spectrum of people, right? Some people are very routine. And out of those 52 Sundays, maybe 50 out of 52, we are getting all of the chores done very routinely, very regularly. You also have other people on the other end of the spectrum where their chores have no routine, have no set day, have no whatever, and they get done when they get done and when, you know, there is energy and brain space and everything to do that. And people operate anywhere in between that as well. So again, being adults, any of those things are okay. If you do all of the same chores every Sunday, 52 Sundays a year, that's okay. If you do a different chore every Sunday, or you never do chores on Sunday or whatever, also okay. But the thing is in this case, that one spouse, that one partner is not trusting their other partner to, you know, adult with them. Right. And what happens, and this can, you know, start for many reasons, but somewhere along the way, that one person is not trusting that other person to be equal, that other person to adult in a similar way to them. And slowly over time, when you start to take over and you start to boss and you start to control more and more aspects until everything, you know, the way they pour you a glass of wine, everything starts to become a nag or a comment or a something. And it's true that some people even might jump into relationships actually like this. And that could be for a whole bunch of reasons. That could be, you know, the way they were raised. If when they started becoming adults, if their parents still treated them like children, then they might have a hard time. You know, that's what they've been modeled, is that even when you're an adult, you're still treated like a child. Okay. You know, people might have their own self-esteem or self-confidence issues, or the flip side of that, insecurities about what adulting should look like. You know, some of it is that pressure with keeping up with the Joneses. I know the Joneses, you know, do these chores every Sunday, 52 Sundays a year. And if I don't, I must be a lesser functioning adult or a lesser human being or a lesser whatever. And that is, you know, in our love space here, we know that there are many different kinds of brains and that they operate in many different kinds of ways. And then that's just not, you know, something that is true. It's just not a truth that there is, you know, one way to adult and one way to be the Joneses or to keep up with them or whatever have you. So some people do jump into relationships like that. And if you're having just in this moment, if you're having an aha moment, if you're sitting there listening and going like, oh my gosh, this is maybe where we've slipped to in our relationship, or maybe this is how I jump into relationships. This is where I just start off, right? This is part of my beliefs and my value system from whatever, wherever it got rooted and it got implanted, that this is just how you start relationships. And this can be with friendships too. As you know, I believe that those are all very similar skill sets, right? That we're just using with different people and different depths of intimacy. But if you are having that aha moment, you know, these are all things we can work on. This being able to trust and this being able to step away from the parenting dynamic, that is 100% something that is workable. And it's something that we can work on even when you're in a relationship. So I know that some people really feel that if there's anything to work on them, on themselves as a human being, that they need to step away. They need to step away and be alone and work on themselves. And that, you know, I don't wholeheartedly agree with. I think it depends what you're working on. For sure, I think there could be a case where one or two things, 100%, that might be better for you to take a pause and go and develop that more. But I think there's a lot of things. There's a lot of growth, personal growth, development, maturing, all of that, that you can actually do within a relationship. Because two, we don't mature and grow and develop and stretch ourselves and become a wiser, more wonderful human beings in a vacuum. We become wonderful, more wiser human beings in through the experiences we have, through the interactions we have, through the conversations we have. So let's not rob ourselves of that, right? Let's have clear communication with our partners on what we are working on and what we are growing and what we can support each other in. And if one of the things is, oh my gosh, I never realized I was parenting you instead of partnering with you. Oh goodness. Let's fix that up. Let's treat that. We can handle that. We can do that. Okay. So yeah, get a hold of me. Get DM me on my Instagram at Sparked Forever. DM me on TikTok at Sparked_Forever. You know, let's be in touch and let's get this tweaked. Let's get this growing and moving forward. So if we are parenting instead of partnering, we really need to take a step back and think of that big picture idea of trust. Okay. So I'm going to do part two to this so that we can dive in a little bit more to maybe some beginning conversations or some ways we might be able to, you know, start to approach this in our relationship, some of those details that we can color in, right? But I want to give you the big picture piece first in this part. So I want you to think of that big picture idea of trust. And I want you to ask yourself a few hard questions. Okay. Why aren't you trusting them to be equal? Why aren't you trusting your partner to be a partner and to be a collaborator? Why aren't you trusting them to be able to adult like you? Maybe there's a values piece that's not aligning there. And actually, I do a lot of values work with couples. It's super exciting. It's super upbeat. I love to do it. I'd love to have any of you join me do it. Oh my gosh, it's so good. And we can get, you know, there's all sorts of different sets of cute cards too. If you're one of those people who likes like tarot cards or oracle cards or whatever, there's values cards and they are equally as fun. But the great thing about that values work is some people, some couples, you know how some couples, we just see them and we're like, oh my gosh, like they just like have it so easy, right? Those are probably couples where their values, they maybe not even realize it. And this is the same with the languages of love piece, that their values, they just actually naturally align and no one really had to talk about it. They just kind of lucked out. And that's the same when you luck out where you meet someone and it happens to be that your love languages naturally match up, then you kind of luck out, because if you're both physical affection and you both just naturally start cuddling each other and hold each other's hands all the time, it's something that you are both getting a lot out of, something that's both filling your cup up a lot, your emotional cups up a lot. I don't know why that sounds weird to my ears, but anyhow, there you go. And you're getting a lot out of it without ever having to have a conversation or to have a share about it, right? And that's when it seems like magical and like, I don't know why this works so well. It's because things just happen to, it's a coincidence that you've picked a person where those things are the same. Okay. And that can be the same with values. Sometimes we don't even know our values and we have them. They're working in our lives. They're doing things for us. They're helping us make choices and not make choices, but we might not even realize that that's a value we have. Okay. And then we might meet someone and maybe they don't even know that that's a value and they happen to match it. Great. No one ever had to have a conversation with themselves or with each other about what their values are, but all of their choices seem to align because they have similar values. Now, if you start to run into a lot of hiccups where you're like, oh my gosh, if your question is like, or if your answer to this question is, why do I not feel my partner can be an equal adult to me? And you start to go like, well, you know, they don't think this is important and they don't think this is important. And, you know, I see them do things this way and then that's going to make this thing down the road go this way, right? That's probably a values piece that probably you need to do some values work and see what your own personal values are, what both of your own personal values are, and then see which ones align and overlap. And then also the super exciting, fantastic part is when you get to see, not only discovering your own values, but when you get to see your partner's values, the love of your life's values, and you go, oh, wow. Oh no, that does make so much sense. That totally makes sense now on how, you know, on why they're making these choices or why I'm doing things over here and they're doing things over here. And I think they're being an immature, silly adult when really one of their, you know, very important values is having humor or having new experiences or having fun in their life. That's actually an integral part to their being and their prospering. Oh, but an integral part to my being and my prospering is, you know, this thing over here. Okay, how are we going to meet those for each other? Okay, so if that is, so really ask yourself about why that trust isn't there. Okay, this can actually also really pop up. Any of you new families out there, any of you people who have just started having babies and children together in your relationship, or anyone who, you know, has just taken on the lovely, most wondrous gift of getting bonus children, as I have been lucky enough to be gifted in my life, you know, oh, right? Why don't I trust that person to collaborate, to partner with me on childcare? Why is it if the, you know, why don't I trust them on this piece? Why don't I trust their process on the parenting piece if the outcome is still the same? Oh, those are such a good trust question. And sometimes when we become new parents, that is sometimes when the parenting, when we can start parenting our partner, Right? It does. Becoming a parent does change your view, can also, like, it changes your perspective, changes your view, maybe rearranges some priorities. It also can might switch up some values in your life. And it could be that maybe you were aligned before, but it switched up a few things here for one person and a few different things here for another person. And now it's all switchy switchy. Right? And we maybe need to come back together and be like, okay, that has changed for you, and this has changed for me. Okay, how again are we going to collaborate and bring these back together? Because at one point, I thought you were totally a trustworthy person that I could grow my life with. And now the fact that you gave, our child hot dogs for breakfast, where I'm totally against preservatives. I don't know, I'm doing a really silly, trite example here, but now all of a sudden I feel like we just don't understand each other at all. Okay, so thinking about that trust piece, why aren't I letting them be that equal person? Why aren't I letting them collaborate? Why aren't I finding value, or I guess comfort, in their processes? Okay. And actually, do you know what? Let's switch up this question. I'm going to make this question even harder for you guys, this big picture thinking question. Okay. Let's forget about the why part. Why often, and if you were starting to feel defensive, why, when I was asking these questions, why actually can make people feel defensive? So I'm going to switch it to a what question. Okay. Lower your defenses a little bit. What does parenting your partner give you? Behaviorally speaking, like if I go back to my roots as a behavior analyst, that if there was something punishing about parenting, it would decrease. We would stop doing it. So there is something reinforcing. We are getting something out of parenting our partner. Okay. We are getting something out of it that makes us continue to do it. All right. What would it be like? I'm going to flip this question from what does parenting your partner give you? Let's flip it. What would it be like to have a partner that you could collaborate with? What would it be like to have a partner that you are partnering with? What would that do for you? What would that give you? What would that life look like? What would your routines look like? Wow. Okay, I want you to really sit and think on that before you jump into part two, because part two is really going to kind of dig into the details. But I want you to think of those big picture questions, because thinking about trust and thinking about partnering with the love of your life, that is what's going to keep you sparked. Thanks to my quirky crew for sharing this space and your connection time with me once again. It's really, truly appreciated. If you're new here, I hope this time sparked your love and relationship energy too, and that you'll be joining us again. If something sparked you today, connected with you, delighted you, do reach out, find me on TikTok at sparked_forever or through my website, sparkedforever.com, to get your free copy of Cake Night, your mini guide to making date night sweeter. Don't forget to send some love out by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Not only does this send me some love, but it helps others find us on their relationship journey. Until next time, be sparked.